What a joy to be with you again today. And I'm hearing just wonderful reports about how you as a church are responding during the sabbatical, your pastor. As I asked different ones, they're saying, well, you know, things are just going well. People stepped up and they're coming. Attendance is great. And I just think that's a wonderful testimony. It's a testimony the church is built around Jesus, not a man. Amen?
Amen.
And I know nobody appreciates that more than Brother Mark. To hear that, it's not a compliment for people to say, well, the pastor's gone, so I'm not going. I honestly know some pastors who, if they're going to be gone, they don't tell anybody. They just slip out of town, and the only time the members know the pastor's gone is when somebody gets up and say, well, the pastor's not here today, so-and-so speaking. In other words, he's afraid to tell them because he's afraid he won't come to church if the pastor's not there. Well, that's not the way it ought to be. Amen? In fact, when I was pastor, I'd start telling them about it 6 weeks early. I'm going to be gone. And we got so-and-so in. And they couldn't wait for the time I got through promoting the guy. And I didn't invite people that couldn't out-preach me. So, you know, they want to know, when are you leaving? I thought you were leaving last Sunday, you know. So anyway, I know you love Brother Mark, but you've been great to the ones who've come. Everybody that's been here has spoken kindly and appreciated the opportunity of being with you. Well, I have with me today my first wife, Sarah. She's also the only one. And in September we would have been married 60 years. I told somebody, what?
I think it's gonna last.
She thinks it's going to last. I told them we've had 40 wonderful years. But, no, they all have been wonderful. And, well, I want to preach to you today on a subject that everybody will be involved. I'm so glad that some of the children could be here. I like to preach to children. They listen better. And not only that, the Bible said if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you got to be like a child. And that means when they hear the word of God, they just believe it. So let's just all be children today. And really let the word of God seek in our hearts. Because I'm going to talk to you today about a service or something that every one of you, children and all, can do to be effective in the kingdom of God. Now, this is a silly question, but how many of you would like to feel like that you've been effective in the kingdom of God? Amen. So listen carefully. I'm going to tell you. And you're going to agree because it's scriptural, okay? I'm preaching on prayer. I like that song. I've never heard it, but it's good. When it said, I say what you say and pray what you pray. I tell you, we learn to pray what he prays. We're going to be turning the kingdom, expanding the kingdom of God. So we're going to talk about prayer today. I heard my brother Dudley tell this story recently. He said this woman was praying for her husband, about her husband. And her prayer went something like this, Lord, help me to be more patient with my husband. Give me long suffering, kindness, Lord. Lord, you realize I didn't pray for strength. Because if I had strength, I'd beat him to a pulse. So you need to be discerning what you pray for. I heard about this father who heard his little boy praying for a baby sister. He was only child. And he was wanting a baby sister. And he'd be in his room. He wouldn't pray silently. He'd pray aloud. God, I want a baby sister. Please send me a baby sister, God. And every night they'd hear him praying out loud for a baby sister. Well, he prayed like that for months. And then all at once, he just quit praying. Well, one day their father came in and got the little boy and said, I want to show you something. Took him in the room with the mother and pulled back the cover. This was several months after he had quit praying even. And he said, look at there, son, a little baby sister. Pulled the cover back a little bit further. Look at there. Another little baby sister. Pull back the cover a little bit further. Look at there. Another three little baby sisters. He said to the little boy, aren't you glad you prayed? He looked at his daddy and said, yes, Dad, aren't you glad I quit? So we're going to talk about prayer. I met a man when I was in college who came to my church, and he was one of the greatest soul winners I'd ever met. He was in his, I thought he was an old man then. He was in his 50s. I was in my 20s. And he was just a real man of God. And we got to be close friends. He'd even follow me around when I'd preach a revival. He'd go with me and go out and win people to the Lord and bring them to the revival. We'd pray together, but he'd tell me, now pray for me. I said, okay. And then the next time I'd see him, he'd say, well, do you pray for me? I say, yeah. Do you pray for me every day? No, sir. Well, you ought to be ashamed. Well, it got where I thought, out of guilt or whatever, I'd pray for him every day. Because I didn't want to tell him when I saw him again, because I knew he was going to ask me. You prayed for me every day. And there are not many people I pray for every day, but I hope after this sermon today there'll be some that you'll pray for every day. And that you'll be more confident in your prayer, because prayer makes all the difference in the world in you being effective in the kingdom of God. I'm going to be talking, first of all, from Romans 15:30. I've asked them to try to put it up overhead. You going to maybe? Yeah, that's okay. Everybody got a Bible or you memorized one, right? I know you got this memorized. It's Romans 15:30. Yeah, I'm in Corinthians. That won't work. Romans 15:30. All right, here we go. Now, what I want you to see in these scriptures that I'm reading is that Paul felt a great need of prayer. And my conclusion is that if the Apostle Paul needed prayer, I need prayer. And if the Apostle Paul begging people to pray for him, then maybe we ought to get some other people to pray for us. Amen? Listen to what Paul prayed in, or wrote to the church at Rome, 30th verse, 15th chapter. But I exhort you, brethren, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Strive. Don't slack up when it's hard. Keep striving in prayer for me. Paul begging for prayer. And then he tells them what to pray for. That I may be delivered from those disbelieving in Judea. and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted in the saints, by the saints, so that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed. Now, we're going to come back to those verses, and the whole sermon's coming out of those verses. But let me read to you some more verses. If you can keep up with me, you can turn in your scripture. Otherwise, trust me. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all kind of prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching to this thing which with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. And then the 19th verse. And pray for me. He says, pray for all the saints, but pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the God. Do you pray for that for your pastor or visiting preachers, that when they stand behind a pulpit, that they'll be able to preach with boldness the mystery of the gospel? Look at the Colossians 4, 2, 3, and 4. Continue in prayer and watch in it with thanksgiving, praying together for us. There he is. Pray for us, he says. Also, that God may open to us the door of his word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am bound. Paul's in prison. He says, pray that I'll just have an open door to tell somebody about the gospel. And that I may speak it, listen, clear as I ought to speak. I never go in a pulpit and I don't pray for myself that what I say will be clear enough that any child could understand it. And then maybe a few adults get it. You understand? I want it to be clear. And you know, only God can do that. And then notice Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers. Now, he was in prayer. He was in prison, but he said, I know I'm going to be delivered because of your prayers. Oh, how Paul depended on people praying for him to be effective in the kingdom of God. You know, if you pray for a missionary, your prayers can make a difference in their life. And the people they went to Christ on a foreign field, you had a part in expanding the kingdom of God through your prayers. These visiting preachers who are coming through, add them to your prayer list. Add me to your prayer list, please. And everything I do, if you pray for me, everything I do, you have a part in it. And we won't even know till we get to heaven all that been accomplished because we prayed for the saints. Amen. Paul was begging for prayer. Look at Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it also is with you. Oh, pray for us that the word of God will have free course. Oh, we need to pray that. And then the second verse, and pray that we may be delivered from the unreasonable and wicked men, for all do not have faith, he says. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, then, I exhort that supplication and prayer and intercession and giving of thanks be made unto all men, made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We can pray for leaders and that they will govern rightly and justly as God would have them to, for the purpose of making it possible for us to live a life quietly. quiet life, peaceable. I hope we do that. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Therefore, I desire that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. How many of you believe that Paul believed in prayer? Amen. And Paul wanted and begged people to pray for him. So the title of this message is A Preacher's Plea for Prayer. And that doesn't mean we ought not to pray for everybody. It says pray for all the saints. But I oversee a lot of churches, and I pray for pastors more than anybody else. I mean, not anybody else. I pray for pastors more than I pray for other people. Consistently, I would say. Because I was pastor for a long time. And I know what pastors go through. And I know this sermon would probably, it would be a sermon you'd preach in a conference or something to pastors and for so. But I got to thinking, you know, really the congregation ought to be the one to hear this. So they'd be inspired to pray for their pastors and pray for other pastors they might know and know how to pray for them. And if you pray for pastors and missionaries, and it affects them to be more effective, you are extending the kingdom of God, and everybody can do that. So I want us to really allow the Lord to speak to our hearts today. Now, every other point is going to come out of Romans 15, 30 through 32. The first part there in the 31st, he says, struggle. Strive with me, struggle with me, together with me in your prayers for me. So what he was saying is that preachers go through struggles. Now, some of you might not realize that. You say, well, a preacher, what kind of struggles he got anyway? Well, what kind have you got? He's got all of yours plus some. Well, yeah, he's got personal struggles. Yeah. Just like you do, he's human. And he's got family struggles. You know, I mean, his washing machine tears up just like yours. Lawnmower won't start. That's a struggle for me. I mean, leasing faucets, a struggle for me. So there's struggles of all kind that he goes through just like you do. Struggles in the family and children and struggles in the church and struggles with people outside the church. And Paul said, hey, I'm going through all of these struggles. Would you struggle with me in prayer for me? Because I'm facing these struggles. and so I just challenge you to think about your pastor and to think about other pastors you know and missionaries and people in full-time ministry that you could extend their ministry by praying for them that God's presence upon them would be so strong that they would know what to do with these things that cause them concern and struggles. Amen? Now, does it make a difference when you pray for them? Well, I tell you what, we need to do it when we can. Do you remember Jesus? Even Jesus had struggles. In fact, he was facing some when he asked his disciples to go with him, and his three main buddies took him to the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? And in the garden, he said, I really need for you to watch and pray for me because I'm really going through it right now. And would you pray for me? And he goes out a little further and he prays For about an hour he prays, comes back, and the guys that he trusted in and believed in had fallen asleep. And Jesus said, would you please? He woke him up and says, please, pray for me. And he goes a second time. He prays again. Comes back and they sleep again. I mean, he was going through the struggle of drinking a cup that was hard to drink because it was full of sin. And he'd never known sin. But in order to die for the sins of the world, he had to become a sinner and drink a cup full of sin. And that was the sins of the whole world and every person in here and every other person in the world. He drank all their sin. He was struggling with that. And he came back the second time. He was asleep. He said, and then he went the third time. And one of the gospels said, as he prayed, great drops of sweat like unto blood. Sweat turned to blood. Such agony in prayer. And he came back. Believe it or not, they were asleep again. This time he says, sleep on now. It's too late. You know, there's going to be a time. Right now, I'm telling you, you can make a difference with your prayer. But don't go to sleep when you're needed to be extending the kingdom of God through something you can do. And that is pray. And I think somewhere on the top of the list ought to be praying for your pastor. Because they need it like anybody else. Amen. In fact, I made a commitment after studying this verse. And I pray for him almost every day before that. But I made a commitment. I'm going to pray for my pastor every day. Every day. And I'm going to pray one of these. And sometimes all of them. But as the Lord leads me, these points that Paul brought out. Pray for it to be clear. Pray for open doors, whatever. But let's remind you of a story in the Old Testament. You remember the story when God told to go against the Amalekites, and Joshua was a general, you know, and he was going up against the Amalekites, and Moses went up the mountain to pray, and Moses would lift his hand in prayer. And when he prayed with his uplifted hand toward heaven, Joshua's army just beaten up on those Amalekites. I mean, they were just being slain. Moses would get tired. Hand would fall down. And then the Amalekites start beating up on the Israelites. And Aaron and Hur was there in that prayer meeting. And they saw what was happening. And one got on one side and one the other. Lifted up Moses' hand, the intercessor. And as he prayed and they lifted up his hands, the battle was won. We need people lifting their holy hands, praying.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, God can't stop this church if you pray. God can't stop you if you know how to pray and get others to pray for you. I don't hesitate to get others to pray for me. I remember several years ago my schedule was heavy and I went to this conference. Peter Wagner. Peter Wagner was preaching on prayer, and he said, you know, every minister ought to have a prayer team around him. Ought to have people who love to pray, intercessors praying for him, and that minister ought to keep them up with the things that they can pray about for him. And I thought, boy, that'd be great if I had a prayer team. I wonder if anybody would do that for me. And so I sent out some emails to some people I thought were real prayers, and sure enough, they said they would. And I tell you, I could tell a difference from then on of the freedom that I had and the walking in the Spirit, and the discernment I had was more keen, And I just thought, boy, I wonder if every preacher in the world knows about this. You ought to have a prayer team praying for you as you go out. And right now, there's people back in my home church praying for you in this church this morning because I sent them emails saying, this is where I'll be pre-praying. Amen. Now, that's good. Now, the second thing Paul said, he said, struggle with me and then prayers for me. And then he said, also, he says, pray that I will be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. How many of you know that your pastor and anybody on the front lines for the Lord is going to be opposed by unbelievers? People who don't even believe in God, don't even believe in the Bible, or if they say they do, they live in it like they don't. And people who have who do not walk in the Spirit, they are just looking for something to criticize the pastor about, and they just want them to go down. They just want them to do something bad so they'll feel better about their sin. I mean, you ever been around anybody like that? Paul said, please pray for me. I'll be delivered from people like that. I don't want to give in to anything like that. Pray my life will be pure. They won't have anything that will cause dishonor to Jesus. Pray I'll be delivered from that. But how many of you know that there's some people in church who are unbelievers? I mean, they believed enough to get saved, but they hadn't believed enough to believe. And walking with God, and walking in the Spirit. And because of that, Paul calls them baby Christians, or carnal Christians, he'd call them. And he said, you can't understand this because you're carnal, because if you're spiritual, you'd understand this, but you're still drinking milk like babies. And it was the babies and carnal ones that really gave Paul a lot of trouble. And Paul said, pray for me that these who haven't grown up spiritually will not pull me down and cause my ministry not to be what it ought to be. It's baby Christians sometimes and carnal Christians who are not walking in the Spirit, but they're walking in the flesh. And by the way, you know what the flesh does. It looks after self. It pushes other people down, pushes itself up. It's full of pride. And Paul said, sometimes you just really need to pray for me that people who are walking in the flesh, who are trying to be predominant themselves and trying to pull other people down, that I'll be delivered from that, Paul said. And people that cause divisions. In fact, Paul said to young Titus, he said, if there's a divisive person, and he was telling him how to run a church there in the Crete. He said, if there's a divisive person among you, warn him. And then warn him a second time, but if it's still divisive, pull away from him, don't have anything to do with him, because if you do, they're going to just keep pulling you down. Paul didn't like it when people caused divisions. You have divisions when somebody in church has a different vision from the leadership of the church. The pastor and elders saying, here's where we're going. And somebody else said, no, I don't think that. We're going to go this way. We're going to get a group of people that agree with us, and we're going to do this no matter what the leaders say. You know, that'll call preacher, if he lets it, give him ulcers. And so Paul said, I don't want ulcers. Pray for me. Oh, pray I'll be delivered from being tied up with that. I don't want to be tied up with that. Okay. Then he goes on in that Romans verse to pray this. He says, pray that the ministry that I have for the saints in Jerusalem to be received. Now, Paul had taken an offering, And he was taking this offering to the Christians there in Jerusalem. But there were some unbelievers around there as far as believing like Paul did. There was Judaizers who said they believed in Jesus, but they said you got to do all the Jewish stuff too, and you got to, and Paul was saying they're gonna lead you wrong. And so pray that all of them will understand that I am coming for the right motive and for the right purpose, and I'm bringing this offering, and I have no ulterior motives. Just pray that my ministry would be received. And when I read that, I thought, Lord, I want people praying for me. That when I go to preach, that what I say would be received as from the Lord. And it'll be received as I mean it and not as they want to interpret it. How many of you know that sometimes a pastor preaches a truth and somebody will hear it exactly opposite what he meant for it to mean? And they get mad and they pout and they're offended and they even quit coming to church because the pastor said this, but he didn't mean that. And he really didn't say that. That's what you heard, you know. And Paul said, I know humans can do that, so pray that my ministry would be received. Paul said, I'm handling money, so please pray that nobody will interpret anything except the right motive, because every penny they gave, I'm bringing and I'm distributing to the saints. Pray that this money deal will be accepted right. Well, I tell you, if anybody can find any preacher where they can accuse them of misusing money, that really gives them something to talk about and gossip and bring division. But we need to pray that not only your pastor, but every pastor would be so discerning. And like Paul, pray. Paul would always take somebody with him. And if he sent an offering, he'd send it by two people. And very careful to handle finances in the right way. But you know, pastors wrestle with finances too. Did you know that? They have to pay their bills. And so we need to pray. We need to pray that finances would be. Our pastor confesses that he got way in credit card debt. Now he's tore up his credit cards and he's out of debt. And we prayed him to that place. And so pastors have financial concerns, and we need to pray. We need to pray toward that end for ourselves, for all the saints, but especially for spiritual leaders, that finances would be. And by the way, one thing that concerns most of the pastors where I go are concerned, and especially during this time of recession or whatever we're in, depression, obsession, we're in something. And I'm in it with you. But most of the churches are really having financial difficulties. And I know the elders are concerned, and I know those of you who know about it are concerned, but nobody's more concerned than the pastor. Lord, you know the first question I asked, and FCCM's got the same problem. And the first question I asked, Lord, are we handling what you give us right? That's the first question. Lord, have I presented this to people who could make a difference like I should and in the right spirit? That's another question I asked. And I've always believed if we do God's work in God's way, God will provide what we need to do it. And so after asking all those questions, I just pray and get other people to pray. Lord, bring it in somehow, some way. But it's a concern. It's a concern to me because I really believe that if we're praying and hearing God, that they ought not to be a recession in the kingdom of God. Amen? Well, what amazes me is that Summertime is always low time in churches, you know? I can't figure it out. You tell me if I'm wrong, but could it be that people are going on vacation and they don't leave their tithes and offerings before they leave? Or if they don't give it before they leave, when they come back from vacation, they make up? Some of them don't because they spend it all on vacation. So this time I just gave it before I left because I didn't want to mess up. You know what I'm saying? He asked those questions. I wish we had a church full of people like David, King David. This is over in the Kings and Chronicles, and I tried to find it and couldn't, but it's in there. I just didn't have time. It was the last minute I decided to look it up. But here's the thing. He was going to build a temple over there in Jerusalem, and he needed some land to build it on. So he goes to this guy that owns it, and he wants to buy it. And the guy said, "Oh, no, you're the king, I'll just give it to you. No, king, you can just have it." David said, "Hey, hold. I will not give unto the Lord of that which costs me nothing." Now, I got a whole sermon on this. The first point is, there's some people say, "I will not give." Now, that's a bunch. I'm not going to give to the kingdom of God. Well, no, that's the second point. I just won't give. I'm not going to give to the Red Cross. I'm not going to give to anything. I've got it. I'm going to hold on. Then there's a second bunch. I'll not give unto the Lord. I may give to some charity out here, but I'm not giving to the Lord. And then there's a whole bunch like this. I will not give unto the Lord that which costs me. So if I go on a vacation and I need to spend it there, I'll just do it. I don't want to give up anything. Don't want it to cost me anything. Oh, David said, "I'm not giving unto the Lord of that which costs me nothing." You know, if we gave till it hurt, this church wouldn't have. I mean, if this group here today gave till it hurt, I mean, gave till it cost you something, you wouldn't have financial problems. You believe that? Well, I'll come back and preach the whole sermon sometime. But then he prays something else. He says, Pray that I'll come to you with full joy. You know, you can't pray a better prayer than this for your pastor and your pastors and your elders and your friend here today. And that is, pray that we would be ministers full of joy. Amen. Full of joy. Yeah, you don't want a mad preacher preaching to you. You know, if he preaches, like Fred says this morning, what you say is what you get. If you preach mad, you're going to have mad people. So you need a preacher full of joy. Amen. How do you get him full of joy? Pray. Paul said, I got so many struggles. I got people against me. I got people taking things wrong. So pray that I'll come with full joy. Boy, we need to pray that. I'm going to pray that for my pastor. I don't want to listen to sermons full of hate and meanness. Amen? That's right. Amen? So pray for joy. You know, there's some things that take away joy. And there's some things that give joy. You could be the kind of Christian that added to the joy of your spiritual leaders. Or you could be the kind of Christian that take away joy. Let me tell you some of the things that rob preachers of joy. Number one, broken friendships. When the pastor hears that there's people in the church won't speak to one another, I mean, that'll wake you up at night. See, I kind of oversee preachers, and we got preachers sometimes won't speak to one another. I don't understand that. How do you preach mad with somebody? But here he is, Paul saying, pray. coming full of joy. But when you know people are not getting along, it takes away some joy. And then if there's several like that, how are you going to get any sleep? I literally wake up at night sometime praying for preachers that I know have got offenses toward another preacher, offenses toward maybe some one of their elders or something. They're not doing it God's way, and I'm concerned. And it takes away some joy. Expectations that do not come about takes away some joy. Another thing that takes away joy is, as I mentioned a few months ago, divisions. When there's people in the church going the opposite direction from the vision of the church, that takes away joy. So when we think about these things, we need to pray for our spiritual leaders that they'll be full of joy. Over in Thessalonians, let me read this. Paul said, well, no, that's not the one I wanted. No, it's Hebrews. Hebrews 13. This scripture is talking about elders. 13:17. Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls as they that must give an account. Now, the pastor is, of course, one of the elders. But listen, the elders, the pastor, they're going to have to give an account how they lead this church. They're going to have to give an account to God for your souls. That's the reason why they want the truth preached in this pulpit. That's the reason why they want to lead you to follow the Word of God and so forth. But notice what it says after that in the 17th verse. It says, submit to them that have the rule over you, that they, because they're going to have to give an account to God, that they may do it with joy. See, how you live with, get along with one another and all of that, it's either going to add to the joy of the leaders or it's going to take away joy. So it's not just praying for joy, but be sure you're part of the ones who make and joy come. Amen? And then he prays. Well, another thing that takes away joy, I don't want to leave this out, is people leaving the church for no reason at all. Now, I don't know, I hadn't asked around here, but a lot of churches I go into, pastors are grieved. I have to pump them up and get the joy back because, man, we had two families to leave in the last month. What? Why? Did they come tell you why? No, they just left. They didn't tell me a word. Well, are they offended with you? No. But the pastor's grieved. And if he loves God, if he loves people and the people of God, you would be, wouldn't you? If one of your children walked out on you, didn't even know why, where he's gone, why he left, wouldn't you be grieved? The church is a family, isn't it? You know what I believe about church? I believe it's a family. And I believe we join a church because we ought to join because God tells us to. Amen? And if God tells us to, we ought to be received with joy. Amen? I believe on occasions, not near as much as it happens, but I believe on occasion God might tell a person to leave a church and to go and plug in somewhere else. But if they did, they ought to go with joy.
That's right. Come on.
And you won't go with joy unless you go to the leadership and say, hey, here's what God's telling me to do. Will y'all bless me in this? Amen?
Amen.
Now, if it's done that way, there could be some joy in it. Otherwise, there's no joy in it. And the sad thing is a lot of people, they have told a pastor, well, the Lord's told us to leave. Well, where are you going? We don't know. Well, that's not. That is the devil. If God's told you to leave, he's told you where to go. He hadn't told you to get out there from under covering, out from under fellowship with God's people. He hadn't told you that. You say, well, preacher, you meddling now. Well, that's okay. But I'm telling you, I see this happening. So leaving without telling anybody, that takes away joy. Then he prayed, pray that I'll come to you in the will of God. We ought to pray for the pastors, for the leaders, that they will do everything according to the will of God. Pray that your pastor will know what to preach according to the will of God. Pray that he'll know when he's counseling with people, that he'll give them the kind of advice that will be according to the will of God. There's great responsibility that you have when you're counseling or when you're preaching, because you're preaching to a lot of people, and what you say can influence families and generations. We need to pray for our leaders to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Amen? Amen. Well, we could stay there a while. Paul said, grieve not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. We need to pray that the pastor will walk in an ungrieved spirit and an unquenched spirit, that he'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead him in all that he does, that he'll not hear the Holy Spirit tell him to do something he'll not be willing to do. We grieve the Spirit when we quench him and say no to what he tells us to do. If God's telling you today to pray for somebody every day, then you grieve him if you don't do it. It's just obeying him. Somebody asked me, well, how are you growing the Lord? I just say, well, do the next thing the Holy Spirit tells you to do. How am I going to know the will of God? Just do the next thing the Holy Spirit tells you to do. You don't need to know the will of God 5 years ahead. Just do what he's telling you to do right now, and he'll get you to the next step. It's like walking with a lantern, you know. I used to go possum hunting with a lantern. You just see 3 steps. That's all you can see. But you take those steps, you can see 3 more. That's how we know the will of God. He'll keep us in his will. Well, I know you'd be happy to know this is the last point. Paul prayed in that 15th verse, chapter, the 32nd verse. He says, pray that I'll come to you and be refreshed by you. I'll come and be refreshed by you. Paul, like me, he'd rather stay in a home than a motel. I don't even know where they had motels back then or not, but Paul liked to stay in homes. And he'd say, now when I come, you're going to be able to refresh me. And Paul said, I'll be able to also encourage you and refresh you with the word. But Paul looked up. He'd never been to Rome, so he was going to get to meet some new brothers and sisters in Christ. And he said, when I get there, I'll be refreshed by you. And I tell you, we need to pray for our spiritual leaders and our pastor, the one that's going to be preaching in the pulpit. He needs to stand here refreshed. And you don't know how proud I am of this church for allowing your pastor to have a sabbatical and to be refreshed. I talked to him last night, and he said it took him four weeks just to get unwound. And since then, how refreshed he's been in his thinking and his feeling. Boy, y'all can hear rain around here. But I hope we hear some in Texas. But I really am so proud of this church for doing that. We've had several pastors in FCCM to burn out. And when you burn out, you really get depressed. You're not thinking straight. You even think about quitting. It's hard for you to hear God. And you don't want somebody preaching till you burn out. Amen? And I don't think Mark was quite there, but he was very close. And And we suggested to the leaders that this be done, and they so graciously, without one objection that I know of, they thought it was exactly what ought to be done. And he's so thrilled about it. And I believe when he comes back, you're going to be refreshed, because he's been refreshed. And then looking ahead, you ought to look for ways for him to be refreshed. Sending him to conferences like you sent he and Neil to the FCCM conferences and other conferences where you go and listen to other spiritual leaders that preach to you. I need refreshing. I need to hear others preach, not just me. And pastors need that. So sending them to places is good. My son Tom pastors where Mark used to pastor in. And that church has now, every year they give Tom a sabbatical where he, they don't count it as vacation, it's a sabbatical where he is taking time off from the pulpit. This year I preached for him for 3 Sundays. While he was, he'd visit other churches or other pastors, and but he didn't have any sermons to get up. But he was planning what God wanted him to do for the whole next year, and trying to be refreshed. And we are trying to encourage other churches to do what you have, and that is to make it possible for their church to be refreshed. And wouldn't it be good if we'd do the same thing for missionaries? I know some churches that have a special house. When the missionaries come home, they have a house for them to live in. There's different things you can do for spiritual leaders to help them be refreshed. And I thank for a church to be a part of that. Sometimes if you can't do it by yourself, you can go together with other churches. And if nothing else, if you know a missionary is going to be here, you know, for a year, go together and rent an apartment or something. Because most of the time they don't have that. So anyway, Lord, help our spiritual leaders to be refreshed in the Lord. Well, I'm going to close. You say, well, preacher, what can I do about what you preach? Well, you can pray. You can pray for me. If anybody want to be on my prayer team, let me know. That'd be good. But I hope that some of you feel led to be on a prayer team for your pastor. And he said he was going to listen to this online, so he'll know his part is to let you know what to pray for. The things that he's concerned about, you can pray for. And then ask the Lord to show you specific people. I know you're going to pray for your family and also, but other saints in this fellowship are missionaries that you need to pray for. You ought to ask God, son, like you're going to pray for every day. That could be your pastor. Maybe some you pray for once a week. I don't like to get too legalistic about it, because God will change it. If you try to make legalism out of it, he'll just change it up. But all I'm saying is just all these things that I've mentioned to pray about, at least you can pray about some of them every day for the spiritual leaders you know. And I believe if you do that, you're going to see a difference in your church. Amen? Amen. Now, this morning, what I want us to do, there's some of you here today feels like Paul. Paul said, pray for me. And some of you here today just feel a need of somebody praying for you. It could be for healing. It could be that you close to burn out yourself. It could be that you just down and you don't even know why you're down. But you just would like somebody.